Today on our program, we are going to be talking about Teen Maze. Teen Maze is a project that YSS has taken over, again, facilitating this with a number of different community groups. And joining us on the air today, we've got Felicia Watkins. Felicia, thanks for taking time to visit.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about Teen Maze. Okay, it's, gosh, a dozen years at least, 12, 13, I think you said, we've been doing this.
Yep. Technically, this year would be 13. Unfortunately, in 2020, we were unable to move forward with the event due to COVID. But yes, it's a longstanding event in Boone, Green, and Story counties.
And this is something I think it was a collaborative effort, really, to bring this in back when it started. I'm guessing before your time, but it was a collaborative effort and a lot of volunteer. I think Kiwanis were one of the principal groups to really, and a number of Kiwana groups take part in this. So you help facilitate all these volunteers, don't you?
Yes. So in addition to my role at YSS as the YSS mentoring manager, I also help coordinate the volunteers and logistics for Teen Maze. It has always been a collaboration between the Division 11 Kiwanis Clubs of Boone, Green, and Story County and YSS. And then we also get other partners involved. We have a pretty strong partnership with Iowa State in their Parenting It's a Life program. And this year, we're bringing on NAMI as a support as well. So it really is a collaborative effort, and it would not happen without getting all these different groups involved.
And that's one of the big things, too, because it is a volunteer experience. I'm guessing for some, they've volunteered now probably since its inception and continue to come back and do a lot of the same things. But, I mean, you get different children, different young people coming through every year. I don't want to call them children because, what, they're seventh graders, right?
Yep, this event is focused on seventh graders. The last couple of years, we have included some of the eighth graders just due to people missing out from COVID.
Sure.
But yeah, our volunteers we have professional volunteers, so people within the community, law enforcement, lawyers, health professionals, but those Kiwanis members really are the big driving force for the volunteers.
Okay, so this I know many years ago they decided, we have a big space at the Boone County Fairgrounds in the community building, and again, a lot of work goes into getting everything all set up. So what do you just help facilitate getting all the volunteers, or do you have to get them logistically, get them there? What are your responsibilities?
A little bit of everything, I feel like, now that I've been doing it for 5 years. We actually have two different planning teams for this event that meet throughout the year. So we have a design team that's really focused on what areas do we need to address. We have four areas: health and wellness, relationships, mental health, and life skills. So working with everyone to kind of get those rooms up and ready.
Mm-hmm.
We always survey people, and so we want to make sure that we are each year we're making improvements. But then also my role is connecting with all the school districts that we serve.
Okay.
To make sure that we have them on board. There's a lot that goes into scheduling, you know, 12 to 14 different school districts for a week-long event. So, you know, it's a year-long process of getting this up and going.
I was going to say, yeah. Now, we know it comes up in April.
Yes.
And so part of this is you can't have them all there at the same time. So which do you start out and work in, or did you get together with each school and what's going to be best to fit their schedule? Because it is a number of seventh graders to come. And I'm guessing for each district is all the seventh graders are invited, encouraged to come. But if parents don't want them to, they're not required to.
Yep, we provide schools with a permission form if they need that, with all the information about the event. And so parents do have the option to opt in or opt out. We do a lot of things digitally, so it kind of just starts with a survey going out to schools, and they give us their top three mm-hmm. choices of morning or afternoon, and then we kind of just try to piece it all together so that it works for the school and for our schedule.
I've seen in the last couple of years, as I recall, as the Teen Maze came up, some, adjustment in emphasis, if you will. Because early on, I remember there was a lot about relationship, And then I started to see a few years ago this transition to more on mental health. Still a lot of emphasis on life skills and health and wellness, but a lot of mental health started to creep into it because we were starting to discover some issues and concerns.
Yeah, just the suicide rate for youth in our state continues to increase. We do have a mental health room that talks about suicide prevention. This year, we're adding the self-care room back in, and so they will hopefully leave with some tools that they can implement to take care of themselves. We've also shifted, you know, we're kind of moving away from just tobacco and talking more about the health effects of vaping.
Sure.
Because that is something that youth are doing more of now. Still having those relationship rooms this year, we are adding a second room on relationships that will talk a little bit more about relationships and teen dating violence prevention. Because that is also something that we're seeing. So each year we usually swap out a couple rooms based mm-hmm. on what the youth are experiencing.
And it does, because it does come up different every year. Those are different areas for emphasis. That gives you flexibility to be able to do that, but it also, for your staff and the people that are involved, you come up with the different ideas to incorporate with this. And do you get other input on that too, or is it just mostly on the staff planning side?
We survey chaperones and school staff
okay.
at the end of the maze, and so they, and even the students, so they have an opportunity to kind of add to what we would potentially change for the next year.
Okay.
So it's not just us and the Kiwanis Cubs, but really making okay. sure we get the input of the people we're serving.
Okay. Well, let's talk specifically about some of the groups. So you've got a lot of schools. It's a lot of seventh graders coming. I thought I saw numbers last year, somewhere like about 1,300. But you had usually we're staying around that 1,200. But you did have a lot of some eighth graders that came in because they might have missed the pandemic year.
Yes. Yep. This year we are going to have just over 800, a little less than previous years. But we do have a couple schools that will not be participating this year, and we hope to get them back on board next mm-hmm. year. But it is, impacting a lot of seventh graders in three different counties. We typically have 200 to 350 volunteers throughout the week. It's a great event, and we're looking forward to it.
So let's talk a little bit about, we mentioned some of the specifics that are going on. And you get to do logistics. It's coming up. We'll get everything mm-hmm. set up out of the fairgrounds. And I know at one point parents were invited. They could come by and take a look at what was going on in there. I don't know if you still do that or not as you're getting set up. You've got a lot of people that are involved helping to put it all together, though.
Yeah, parents or even school staff who might be new to their district are welcome to come out. We typically ask that we arrange that ahead of time. In past, when we've kind of set up a special time for them, we really didn't have a lot of people take advantage of it. So mm-hmm. we are welcome to people coming out. We just try to plan that ahead of time if they're interested.
And I think the one part I did want to have you go a little bit more and emphasize, because I know you do get a chance to, as you mentioned, survey the youth that do participate in. And I'm guessing at that age, some of them are pretty straightforward about what they thought about it.
We try to let them write in their own suggestions. I will be honest, it's kind of funny reading sometimes They want to be able to sit. They want snacks and they want something to drink. So those are some of the top, which makes sense for growing seventh graders.
Yeah.
So we do try to incorporate that with maybe some little piece of candy throughout. We're hoping to add a water station this year. But they do give some honest feedback, and we are happy to say that they do take a lot away from it.
So I'm guessing, yeah, in different areas, like you mentioned, in the one you just said this year, some more self-help type things for them in the mental health area.
Yeah, that is actually the room where they get some water, which they're very excited about because they are in that maze for 2 hours. But we are strategically putting that self-care room after the room where they're talking about mental health. So it kind of gives them an opportunity to, think about what they just experienced in that room and kind of reflect and have just a safe space to unwind from kind of those heavy topics.
Yeah. No, that's it's all part of the planning. You got to plan for it to be able to do that and get it done to have the bigger impact, the big impact that you've got. Early on, I remember we had a lot of issues about relationships, dating violence, things like that. Those are still things that are out there and, still bring up information to people. And sometimes I know you get people that will say, I know that my friend has been involved with a relationship like this. And this is something where they get an idea of how they can start talking to people about different things, too.
Yes, we encourage them to talk to each other, but also after they leave the maze to be able to go home and have the conversations
sure.
With their parents as well.
All right, we've been talking about Teen Maze. Felicia Watkins is our guest from YSS on the program today. But Felicia also spends a lot of time doing and organizing and overseeing mentoring for YSS. So let's hit on that very quickly. Normally, January is the big month to draw awareness to mentoring. But for you guys, it's pretty much year-round. You'd like to keep bringing that information out because, again, this is one that takes a lot of a lot of people participating and helping to support the effort, a lot of volunteers.
Yep. We are winding down for our school-based program, as that will be ending at the end of the school year, but we last year added a community-based program, so that does take place throughout the summer. And even if people are interested now, we can get them their application, we can start screening them, doing the background and reference checks, and get them trained so that they're ready to go in September when school is back in session.
Yeah, this would be a good time. This is what we should do every time this year, because as school is winding down and if it's something they're thinking about, make contact, start that communication. That way you get a chance to get them built up and be ready, because you're always going to have a need for mentors and more mentors.
Yes, we are. We typically, in the counties we serve, we typically, in the school year, at least with 40 to 50 kids still waiting for a mentor. So there's always a need, and that we can always work with school districts to get additional referrals. So there's never a thing of too many mentors.
What, as we wrap up this year, how has it been going this year? Because I know you did put out a call a couple of different times for people that are interested in mentoring. You've brought that comes up more than once. Just about any time you have to go do a presentation anywhere, you're willing to talk about the need for more mentors.
Yeah, things are going well this year. We did have some staff transition, so that always creates some challenges. But we, at least in Boone County, we're still active in Madrid, Ogden, and Boone. Serving the kindergarten through eighth grade group for school-based, and we do have maybe 5 or 6 matches at the high school level doing community-based. So
okay.
We've had a good year, and yeah, we're always looking for opportunities to get in front of groups to talk about mentoring and its impact.
I know that, again, mostly you go adults to get to be mentors and things like that, but do you Do you have some young adults? Which ones? I mean, it's anybody that's willing to take time to spend with a youth, I'm guessing, is probably that's what you're looking for. Anybody who would like to spend some time with them. And you don't have to make a big commitment to it, but just be able to be a mentor and be able to communicate with them.
Yeah, we actually have mentors as young as 15. So we do have high school students that are able to be matched in our school-based program. And we've actually had in the last couple years a couple people who were actually mentees in our program have decided to give back and become mentors as well.
All right.
And then we have mentors all the way up to people who are tired and just looking for something to do for an hour a week to support their community. So a wide range of people can be mentors.
And you can do it as long as you want. I mean, not hours per day and things like that, but as many years as you want. I know you've had some that that were mentors that continued to communicate with their mentees well, and even long after they started or quit meeting together and things like that. When they got into high school and went on, they still communicate with them.
Yeah, we have some matches that started in kindergarten and are now in eighth grade and continue to meet. As well as, you know, some who have mentees that are married and have kids and have still can maintain that connection. So those are really the ones that create impact, is the ones that we can kind of keep together beyond that one-year commitment.
Okay. Let them know, anybody that might be interested in finding out more about the mentoring program, and then we'll come back and hit on Teen Maze once again. But more on the mentoring program, best way to make contact, to let somebody know you might be interested. Doesn't mean if you inquire about it that you're obligated to do it, but you might want to give it a try and see or find out more about it. What's the best way to go about that?
Probably the best way would be just to go to our webpage, and it'll have contact information there. So that's just yss.org/mentoring. We also have a Facebook page, so you can just look up YSS Mentoring, and you can also get in contact with us through that page as well.
All right. And the other one, of course, is Teen Maze for 2023 is coming up. Pardon me, it always comes up here in April. And Felicia gets to do all the logistics of organizing, helping get everybody put together and get things lined up to run for, to move forward. And I know it's a big endeavor. Like you said, it takes about a year to get everything put in place. Again, a lot of seventh graders go through here, quite the educational experience. And I'm guessing for a lot of the people that volunteer to do this, this turns out to be something that they really look forward to doing and put on their calendar in advance.
Yeah, the volunteers do love coming back and sharing that with their network and getting them involved as well.
So if people start seeing buses showing up one of these weeks here in April out at the community building at the fairgrounds, and you're wondering, what are they doing in town? This is it. It's Teen Maze will be going on. And again, YSS helps facilitate all this, but I've been working with, Division 11 of the Kiwanis Clubs here in Iowa, Central Iowa. You get a lot of groups that come and take part and help support the effort. So again, that's what helps make it all go. So.
Yes, and I would just encourage, if there's any professionals out there, law enforcement, mental health providers, definitely connect with me, because we are always looking for those professional volunteers, especially from the communities that we serve. So definitely can reach out to me through the YSS phone number, which is 233-3141, if you'd be interested in volunteering.
All righty. Felicia, thanks for taking time. And they can always go online to the website and make contact that way as well.
Yep.
Get started. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a successful Teen Maze, all right?
Thank you.
All righty.
Thanks for having me.
Felicia Watkins, again, that's our guest on our program today from YSS.